Hi, I'm Nicole.
I'm Shiv.
And I'm Jaren. And this is Clearly Unclear, the podcast where we talk about pretty much anything that we find interesting.
From movies to politics, philosophy to medicine, personal experiences to barroom chats.
Join us for a casual conversation among friends, interspersed with the exploration of curious minds seeking to understand the world around them. This journey is bound to be clearly unclear.
Hi guys, just a quick note, no, not from our sponsors, but we just wanted to inform you that we recorded this episode on the 19th of March, last month. So there are things and details that are bound to have changed since then, and so we hope that you keep that in mind while listening to this episode. Once again, we apologize for the delay. Thank you for your continued support, and we hope you enjoy listening to this episode of the Clearly Unclear podcast.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
So this is considered episode 5.
Yeah.
I suppose,
but
so.
It's actually our 6th episode.
Oh yeah, because you did episode 0.
We have this conversation every time.
To be honest,
we do.
We've made it farther than I ever thought we would. Like. So how have you guys been recently? What have you guys been up to? How have y'all been feeling?
I feel like let's talk less about what I've been up to and more about what's coming up. So in about 1.5 weeks, I've got my Easter break. Ooh, so excited.
Is that it? Is this your... Is
my
Easter break
is
the only thing?
It's the only thing on my mind right now.
Actually, I've been counting down the days.
Not like assignments where you'll be like, oh yes, I killed this. Or like no, like, I don't know, meeting up with friends. You'd be like, oh yeah, that's nice.
Okay, fine. So like, I had a piece of coursework that took like forever because it had a group work component and also a written report component. That took me ages. I hated it and I'm done with it. So I'm also happy about that.
What was your group like?
My group was okay. So like the girls in our group were like super nice and we have like a separate group chat for like the girls in the group. And then we were basically the speakers that presented our like PowerPoint about the project. The guys less lovely, but they were still helpful, you know. The report was a disaster. I hated it. I hate writing. But, you know, I mean, I'm done with it now, so I'm kind of glad.
Yeah.
Jay?
No, I think we can carry on with Nick.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any news for me? You guys were talking about it earlier.
We'll save the news for later. Let's get through everyone first.
I have nothing else! Okay. Right. I've been studying. Oh! I've been watching this Chinese show. It's called Youth with You 3. I'm not sure if you know about this, Jay. Do you know about, like, Produce 101?
Uh-huh. I've heard of it.
Please say yes. It's basically a Chinese version of that. So, Shiv, for context, they basically gather about 100 plus people. They're usually trainees for some sort of entertainment company. They come together, compete, and the top 9 members will debut in, like, a group of some sorts. An idol group. So they'll perform, sing, dance, and stuff. So I've been watching that. The excuse for that is that I'm learning Chinese. You see, so I'm doing really well.
Smart.
It's been actually really like fun. And there's like a Malaysian member in there, and he's so good at dancing.
No wonder it sounded familiar, because I think I saw a YouTube clip with Lisa. She was one of the mentors, is it?
Yeah, she was a mentor last season and also this season.
Right.
And all the guys look very nice. So it's very nice to watch. That's gonna sound so shallow, but we love. Okay, that's it for me. Jay, how has life been?
Okay, so let's look ahead first, lah. So, I guess by the time this episode will be released, I'll have officially started uni.
Ooh.
So the 24th, I have started orientation for medicine at Taylor's University. Truth be told, I never ever expected to go to Taylor's. I can recall like a few months ago when I was still applying to like Monash. My mom, one day she was just like, apply to Taylor's law, you know. you know, just apply to Taylor's law. It's cheaper, you know. Then I was like, no, ma, I'm not going there. I'm going to Monash. But, you know.
Why?
At first, there was this idea of like prestige, like Monash was more prestigious. But things ended up that, you know, I couldn't go. But in the end, I guess I'm quite happy to go to Taylor's. I'm happy to know where I'll be headed in the end, but I am kind of nervous as to how it will be, what the people will be like, how my lectures
will be great.
Like.
Yeah, Jay.
I cannot guarantee lectures.
You're incredibly likable, so you'll be great. You'll be fine.
We'll see.
Yes, we'll you'll see. Be fine.
We'll see.
I will say that lectures for me was like a very big learning curve thing. Because you know how I'm very used to asking questions in like classes and stuff? It is so not like that. Like, it is so what's the word for it? Like, you don't basically interact at all. It's just the person talking in front at you. And it's either you get it or you don't get it. If you don't get it, then you're like screwed for the rest of it. So, yay.
Yeah.
Good for it.
Yay. Perfect.
Perfect. You'll adapt. We move.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
But yeah, besides that, I guess it hasn't really set in yet that I'll be starting. Maybe because my sleep schedule has been still very poor. I've still been lazing around most days, doing tutoring, preparing for tutoring on the day of my tuition class itself. The normal stuff. Have I been up to anything recently? I guess I have a story to tell about a cat. Okay, yes, a cat. So...
Is this the news?
No, it's not. It's not the news. So, recently, there was a grey cat that just appeared in front of like our house. Like, I'd never seen it before. But it would just keep meowing, and like when I went up to it would like follow me around. So I was like, oh, it's really nice. So then eventually I actually started feeding it at our doorstep and like leaving water there, and it actually became very accustomed to like our doorstep. Like, it would sit on the bench, you know, it would just chill there. And at first my parents were reluctant, but then they were like, okay, it's fine, you know. But then one day, the cat brought back like a rat to our doorstep, and the cat, the rat itself was still alive, but then the cat got on the bench with it and was just like holding the rat with its like paws and trying to like consume it. I don't know what this cat does. Like, this cat will catch rats, but it won't eat it. So then the thing was, I was at tuition at the time, like I was at a student's house, and then when I came back, my parents were washing like the outside of the house. I was like, what happened? And they were like, your cat brought back a rat, and then it was running all over the place. And then they were like, never bring this cat back again. So we basically had to take a lot of extreme measures to prevent the cat from coming back again, because it grew quite attached, like, because we had fed it for about like a week or so already. And so every time the cat came into like our porch, I had to spray water at it.
Oh.
Yeah. So then, at first I didn't want to, but then I knew that I had to do it for the greater good of my fam. Otherwise they would be all very upset, because the cat had also been like pooing and peeing, and this wasn't its first time bringing a rat back to our house as well. The first time it brought back a corpse of a rat that I didn't tell my parents about, because if I told them, it would be goodbye for the cat. But yeah, so...
I was lucky this podcast is public.
But yeah, so...
Wait, so where is it now?
It's roaming like around our neighborhood still. Like, I still see it occasionally, but it doesn't come into our porch anymore.
Is it a... That means it's like confirmed a stray cat, right?
It's stray, but then it's very like friendly with humans. Yeah, so...
I think Emma needs a friend.
A friend that brings back dead rats.
Yeah. She's quite the opposite of Emma, to be honest. Her hunting instincts are like very prominent.
Oh, you don't know about Emma and the cockroaches in our house.
Do tell us.
So I never witnessed this, but like my mom said, one day she woke up and apparently there was like a cockroach was disfigured, and like all its limbs were around like the back part of our house, you know where the aquariums and like the back toilet is. And basically she had just like dismembered it, and like all the hands were like everywhere. Not the hands, like the limbs, I don't know. And then like apparently it was all over, and then the juices were everywhere. And apparently it was on Emma's mouth and her hand. And my mom said it was really disgusting. And then my mom had to like spray alcohol everywhere and then clean Emma. And then she said she like scolded Emma. I think that was it. And then she said that I should have been awake for that. But she said that she couldn't wake me because I was too deep asleep. But this is like a common problem, like no one can ever wake me up when I'm sleeping. But like, I'm so glad I didn't see that.
I mean, at least she's a cockroach killing machine. Yeah. That's useful.
But I feel like if a human kills a cockroach, it would be less of work to clean it up. She literally like displayed it on the ground. Like she was having a the time of her life. And she's done this to lizards too. She literally will catch the lizard, she will like bite it in her mouth, then she'll spit it out. Because she realizes it doesn't taste so good. Then my mom will have to like, not my mom, but like she will see it there, she'll be like, someone sweep it up. Shiv, how's life been? And what's the news? Can someone please tell me the bloody news?
Okay, so given that everyone's been looking forward, I'll look forward as well, by disclosing some news. Tomorrow at around 8:20, I will be boarding a plane bound for Malaysia.
Yeah.
But you just said you're not coming back.
Yeah, that threw you off.
Oh, okay. Yay! It's time to play Catan.
Remember, like, all the things about, like, yeah, can we play Catan? It's like, oh, yeah, wait, like, a couple of weeks.
Oh.
Because I have to quarantine and everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh my god, cool. We can play Catan.
Wait,
that means you're coming back tomorrow?
For you guys, yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, that means it'll take 2 weeks. That means we'll be able to play Catan while I'm still on my break.
No, it'll take like, it's 7 days. So by the 28th, I'll be out.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so I've just been preparing for that, I think. I finished I was surprisingly productive recently, finishing a lot of stuff and assignments. But it's actually really difficult to book a flight. I mean, not to book a flight, but during like lockdown and stuff and COVID, it's actually really difficult to get a flight, even if you're a Malaysian citizen, back to KL. Because there's so many documents that you have to fill in, COVID tests, you have to write emails to like the High Commission of Malaysia, and it's ridiculous. But hopefully I don't get stopped in Dubai, because I'm transiting through Dubai, so hopefully they don't detain me there.
Why is this a possibility?
Because the thing with COVID tests is like a lot of different countries have different requirements. Like some have they need like a PCR COVID test, and then some don't, and then some need it like within 72 hours if they fly it, and some need it more than 72 hours before you're flying. Some stuff like that. So Dubai says they need it within, but anything can happen. And if anything does happen, then I'll have to like quarantine in Dubai for 7 days before I can travel again.
What a pain. Yeah. Seriously.
So I've just been sorting that out. What other news? There's nothing. As I said, there's nothing much to do here. I can't believe you guys like don't enjoy Malaysia.
Dude, I've been at home all day.
Yeah, but the restrictions
all year.
The restrictions are so. I mean, like especially now, the restrictions are so loose.
Well, it's. I think relative to your situation in the UK, yes, because we can go out and eat and whatnot. But I wouldn't say it's completely loose. I'm not sure if you heard, but there's like a 10,000 ringgit fine for people that violate the SOPs in Malaysia. So like something as simple as if you don't scan the My Sejahtera QR code at a restaurant, and the police come by, they would actually fine you 10,000 ringgit for that.
Jeez.
I think you also can't travel in between districts. Am I mistaken?
Districts can. That's been lifted, but states no. States no.
Ah, right.
Yeah, I mean that's really about it. It's really boring here, as I said. It's just I just do work, eat very very bad food. The food here is not great, and I learned to appreciate Malaysian food all the more, because the food here is just I don't want to go into it. I think I've gone into this way too many times.
Yo, Shiv, yeah. What's your first order when you're coming back to Malaysia?
Ah, yes, I think I told you this. It's a Maggi Goreng double with telur mata and roti tissue by its side with Milo ice. Oh. I'm stopped by Caillou on the after my quarantine. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great.
Are you allowed to order grab food when you're in quarantine, or is that not allowed?
No. I can only order dry things. So I can order like groceries, but I don't think I have space to cook. But it's government assigned, so I don't know which hotel yet.
Interesting how it has to be dry things though.
I don't know. I think maybe because the transmission rate is lower. Because, I mean, you get to control more if it's dry. Because I assume like most dry like products are like packaged products. But if you're ordering food, then it's like you can't really control.
Maggi Goreng is still considered dry, right?
No. I mean, like dry products is like...
I think groceries only. Like...
Bread.
Like...
Biscuits.
Groceries is a bad example. Yeah. Like biscuits and the thing. Like anything packaged, basically. Oh.
So can't you just get them to tap out the Maggi goreng and be like, that's packaged?
I don't think that's how it works.
I'm just kidding.
But I really want, if that's possible, I'd really do it. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, I finished, like, my Easter break has started already. And I finished most of my assignments and stuff. So it's all, it can only be smooth sailing from here, hopefully.
Are your exams online then?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be in Malaysia for a while, I think. Yeah, I'm only leaving in September. So that's quite some time.
Me too, probably.
I don't know if this is off topic, but Shiv, like, do you have any reflections regarding your time that you've spent in the UK?
Let's see. There are quite a few. I'd say I've learned not to take university that seriously. Like, you have to take it seriously, of course, but you can't take it... the attitude that I had in A-levels can't be sort of transposed onto university, because especially for my course, based on the just like all the people I've talked to on my course, it is impossible to keep up to date with everything. But I mean, it is possible, but you won't get that sort of like work-life balance that, you know, unis are famous for. So I'd say, if anything, I've learned to sort of, it's gonna sound so cliche, but go with the flow, be more fluid. So work on things that work on things one at a time. Obviously you need to plan ahead, but try not to structure your day too much, or else you're gonna limit yourself to what you can do. That's the biggest takeaway, I think. And the rest is just be responsible, do your dishes, don't get influenced by your friends too much. I'd say limit extracurricular activities to the weekend. Don't do it during the week. That's just going to mess up your entire week.
Nick, how about you? Since, I mean, you're about to go into your Easter break next week. So you've been doing online school for about 6 months already, I guess. So what reflections have you had?
I guess one thing I've learned from lectures is not everything they say is important. So yeah, this is like basically study advice. So you just have to figure out what is the point of the lecture, and then just like get that point, and then you'll be good. Because especially with like lecturers that have a lot of research or their own thing, they will like to put that into their lectures, and it's a bunch of like nonsense that like you're never gonna get tested on. So they'll be like, oh, look at my research, and I'll be like, no, I don't want to look at your research right now. So like, you just have to be smart about that. Another thing is that I think this is more relevant to online uni, but you have to be very clear about the boundaries you set for your work and when work starts and when it ends, because especially when everything's online, it can blur together, for me at least. So that's when my bedtime started getting later and later, until it was like the mornings, basically. Yeah, it just got me like a bit stressed at certain points. Like even now, I'm still like a bit stressed about how I should manage that. So I think it's important to set boundaries.
Yeah, I think I can, like, adding on to that, like, I forgot to mention, but that is a really important point, because at one point, when I was trying to essentially catch up with everything, or, like, be on top of everything, it got to a point where I was sleeping at 9 a.m. Every day. Obviously, I would wake up slightly late, but my whole sleep schedule just inverted, and I got very, very ill. And you don't want that sort of thing happening to you. So if you could set clear, you know, study times or schedules, scheduling is very important, especially now during online school, I'd say.
I couldn't agree more. Like up till A-levels, I could have said that I basically never slept past like 1. I was sleeping at like 4 or 5 every morning. And I was like, what the heck is going on with me, you know? So that's something to take away about online school, I guess. It's just so easy to continue working, you know, like there is no stop because it's all in the same place. There's no physical like reminders for you to stop, because like you come home from school and that's like school's done. But like online school is just you're in your room, you're facing the computer, and then when you're resting, you're also kind of like watching YouTube videos, at least I am. So there's like no boundaries for me. So that's the problem.
But because as you said, like it's very easy for like the work boundary to sort of melt away, because you can just access everything on your laptop, so you can literally just do everything, and there's no like, unlike A-levels, there's no like set homework. It's almost as if like the subjects merge into one. So like, it's your responsibility to like find and do work. So you always feel responsible, even if you've done like so much work. You always feel responsible that there's more work you could be doing.
Actually, that point about there's always more work you feel you could be doing is actually how I feel almost all the time. And then like I was actually talking about this with my dad, and he was just like, "You just need to stop thinking you need to do work. You just need to just stop. Just relax or something." And I was like, okay, easier said than done.
I think that's really sound advice, especially since I'm going in soon.
Yeah. I was gonna say, you cheekily asked that question for yourself, didn't you?
but I definitely feel that it would be very probable that I would have fallen into something like that as well, like sleeping at very late times because of trying to keep up on work. But I guess it all comes from organization and prioritizing what you want to do. And I guess you guys have learned that, and it's something I need to, you know, apply as I head into uni.
To be fair, I'm still struggling with that. I'm still sleeping pretty late, like 1 or 2. I was aiming for like at least 11, because there's like research that shows that you should really sleep earlier on in the night, because that's when like your deep sleep happens. So I was trying to move my bedtime to like 11. It didn't work. So I moved it from like 4 to like 1. So that's an improvement, I guess. But for health, I guess. Because Shiv, you mentioned you felt sick. I was also feeling like really tired and like really not myself. So Jay, please listen to us.
Oh, we can do that. Yeah.
Set boundaries.
So when I was feeling, when I was feeling sick, what helped me was Baraka Energy. Please, Baraka, sponsor us. Baraka Energy.
For God's sake!
It's great. It lifted me up every day. 9 a.m. I could continue to like 2 in the afternoon because of Baraka Energy. Please sponsor us.
Not gonna lie, I thought you were gonna pull up a bottle.
me too.
I mean, that did help as well. Yeah, because that was the only thing that got me to sleep most of the time. Because you're like, to stay up that late, you have to be like very, very high on caffeine or some other like stimulant. But mine's just caffeine, just clarifying. but yeah, I mean, alcohol did help me go to sleep, which is, yeah, as I said, a very, very bad sort of lifestyle.
Okay, if we're on the topic of recommendations, I recommend matcha tea. So it's the powdered form, and then you need to get a whisk, and then you whisk it. It is, Shiv, don't laugh. It is so good, okay? I love that. I recommend that since we're on the topic of recommendations.
This isn't part of the podcast, but if you were to start like an Instagram account, like the first clip I would want to upload is Shivy's like, you know,
Baraka.
Baraka.
For real, no? For real.
Also, this is like maybe unrelated, but did you guys try any like morning routines or night routines? You know, that's been a thing, right? Like every successful person has like a morning / night routine. Do you have any?
Jay, go first.
I guess, well, starting January, I actually would journal a lot at night. Like every time before I went to sleep, I would journal. But I haven't done that for a while. It's been like 2 months already, 1 or 2 months. So that used to be my
Same.
Night routine. I do have another night routine. It starts with a Y and it ends with an E, and it helps me get to bed every night.
Same. Actually, same.
What?
I wait.
Is it a
Are
Korean
you
drama?
With YouTube?
No. Yeah. I feel that it's quite unhealthy that I
It's so unhealthy.
I need to rely on something like YouTube to get me to sleep. Like, I can't just lie down on my bed and sleep. I have to have watched YouTube.
You, Shiv?
Okay. So I have two. The first one we can post, the second one we can't. the morning routine I had, which is going to sound very, very cliche, is I always tried to, because the thing, like I told you, like the thing with my degree is like, in order to get ahead, or like the only way to get ahead is if you read and understand very, very quickly. So you have to increase like the pace at which you read. And to try to do that, I was like, I read the Financial Times, like get out of bed, just read the Financial Times, like have a shower. And then like before, like, cause sometimes like to get into work seems like a chore. So like, you know, previously before that, I was just watching YouTube, like between like getting up and doing work, and it like YouTube, you tend to spiral and it stretches out for a while. So I found that, you know, just reading the Financial Times, it sort of like acts as a buffer, and then you're more likely to get motivated to do work. So that was a routine for a while.
Regarding that YouTube thing, I think if you're not careful, it could become like a crutch that we have to sort of rely on, you know. I think personally for me, it's something that always has to be done for me. Like, I always just, if I get into bed, it's just natural that I just open up YouTube and until I feel like I'm sleepy. But it's something to consider. Like, maybe we need to be more intentional about, like, if we want to sleep, you know, no devices, stuff like that. But yeah, easier said than done.
Because the funny thing you say that is because I used to be very disciplined about this, about like my boundaries with devices. I used to not use like my phone until like 12 in the afternoon, and I could only use it for like a small window. And then like 1 or 2 hours before bed, I had no devices at all, and I was just reading on my Kindle. And I was like so disciplined when I was younger, but now I'm just like, ugh, whatever, YouTube. But like, I feel YouTube fills in the gaps in my day. So when I have downtime and stuff, like when I don't really want to be thinking, like, you know, sometimes you just want to like have entertainment thrown at you. So I just open up YouTube and I just watch. Because it's so passive, it doesn't take any energy. So I feel like that's a problem as well. So I've been trying to fix that. Not easy, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, so you've got your path laid out ahead of you.
You can navigate our pitfalls and like straight to success.
Shall we get into our topic for today then? I feel like we've talked a bit relating to topic though. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jay, you was mentioning that like it's been a year since the lockdown or the MCO in Malaysia has started, right?
Right. So if I'm not wrong, our MCO started officially on March the 13th of last year. I think it was March 13th or maybe 18th, but yeah, it's been a year.
It's been a year, right? And you know how we've had lots of online schools, so we've been talking about that. But how do you think the lockdown would have affected, or COVID in general would have affected everyone else, or the things to come, I guess? Maybe let's talk a little bit about uni first. What do you think unis will be like in the near future?
I mean, what I was thinking, and this is a very trivial point, but there won't be any like days off anymore. So you know in Tenby when we used to have haze days? And we just look forward to it because it's cool. So for context, a couple years ago, there was a big fire in Indonesia that blew across over to Malaysia, which polluted the skies. And so it wasn't safe to go to school. So we had what was called haze days. And we essentially, the school was too polluted to go to. So we got a day off basically. But now because of sort of online teaching softwares or the development of online teaching, they're essentially going to just replace, we don't have days off anymore. Even if you're sick, I think, if you're not like completely out of it, you can easily just access lectures or class material online, submit them online. Like the sort of, I think, network and platform has already been built. So that changes, like, even though we say that this is a thing that we don't like or that it's temporary, I think it's going to affect like the way education's run in the long run, for good or for worse.
Actually, it's really interesting that you say that because like I've been observing my siblings as they've been attending online school, and they've been adopting something called blended learning. So if you can't attend class, what happens is that the teacher will live stream the class as they are teaching it. So you literally don't have an excuse to miss class unless you're like actually properly sick. Like you cannot even like get out of it. That's why my sister has been like not going to school because she's been studying at home, mostly playing Genshin. I don't know if you guys heard of that game, but like she's been studying at home too. But the thing is that the teachers will be like, oh, if you're at home, you can just watch the school like lectures, not lectures, their classroom, like classes. You can just like come in for class. And then she'll be like, oh, you know, there's like actually no boundaries anymore, even if you want to stay home. That's actually a really good point, Shiv.
There'll be none of, you know how it's like commonly, I guess, a meme that like people fake being sick not to go to school so they can play video games or something. That's not happening anymore. That's not happening anymore.
I think like we honestly, like it creates a generational gap. Honestly, like we would be the last generation to know, to remember like the sort of like dog ate my homework type meme.
And you know what's really sad? The exams are online too.
Yeah.
So you can't even skip the exams if you're absent. Yeah. It's a disaster.
I mean, we say that, but it's probably better. But also that, like, I was genuinely interested, like, Nicole, do you feel like your eyesight's getting worse? Because I genuinely like my eyesight is getting a lot worse.
I know what you mean. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It feels really strained.
Hmm.
Like, when I go walking outside, I don't know, it feels, like, much more relaxing. But also that I can't see as far anymore, which is worrying. I mean, for example, my brother, he's in Tembe, right? And Tembe school hours are about seven, eight hours.
Yeah.
Is something like that. So if you think about it, 7 or 8 hours at the screen, staring at the screen is not a good idea, like under any circumstance, right? But if you think about it, a lot of children are doing that right now and they're young. So I don't know how good that is. Also, I wanted to mention another thing was about social interactions.
Oh boy.
We haven't been having much of, I don't know about you, but like I basically have barely left my house. I think I read like some sort of study or something that says something along the lines of like social interactions with a screen is not the same. Your body doesn't react in the same way to physical interactions. So in the sense is that like the reason why people might be feeling a lot lonelier is because they're actually like our body actually needs like physical social interactions. But I mean, I'm glad that I live in a house with people in it. So I'm not like completely deprived, but I mean, it's really sad that we haven't been able to like hang out with friends and things like that.
I back that. I guess there's a certain sense of, it's definitely different, like online interactions and physical interactions. I don't know about you guys, but generally after I tend to have like online interactions with people, like after that call just ends, like you just feel returned to just a state of loneliness. Well, perhaps not just like complete loneliness, but it feels like just a very abrupt sort of end to that interaction that you had. So I guess I've sort of noticed that throughout lockdown.
It feels like, you know, when you're lucid dreaming, or like when you have a very good dream and like you're genuinely engaged in it and then you just suddenly wake up. For me, it genuinely feels like that whenever I am, especially if it's a call that you want to have with someone that you want to talk to. It feels like that, which is weird because I don't think it happens in real life with as much like magnitude.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, like after going to like one of y'all's house and like chilling, and then when we say goodbye, it's like goodbye, but you still feel alright. But
yeah.
What's actually interesting is that I find that I tire much quicker in online interactions than physical interactions. I'm generally quite talkative, right? So I can talk forever, but like when I'm online with people, right, I just feel so tired. And after the call ends, I just want to take a nap. Like, especially if it's like an academic thing, like we've been discussing, like, you know, small group teaching and stuff. I just need a nap so badly after like it ends. And also the fact that there's like basically no physical cues, you can just see their face. It's so odd. Like I'm meeting so many people and all I know is their face. There's so much about physical interactions that you actually don't know you need to like feel comfortable and like know how to respond and like interact and stuff. That's why I feel like I've been feeling so awkward, especially when I'm meeting people. Also, Shiv, you were saying just now something about Zoom fatigue. What the heck is that?
Oh yeah, so a study, but I don't know who, I forgot who did the study, but it found that people on Zoom, like the first conclusion was that they spend more time looking at themselves than other people. And this actually caused them to tire out much more quickly than they would say in a regular like meeting if they weren't looking at themselves, and B, in a real life physical interaction. Cause I feel like sometimes in real life you can like talk for like 3-4 hours and it feels like minutes, but you really feel the time pass online, at least for me. So you get more fatigued. And I guess, I mean, it was an economic article, so like they based like their conclusions were supposed to like translate to like why this is bad for the economy in general. But like I found it interesting from a social perspective.
That actually makes so much sense. You know, there's a feature on Zoom where you can switch off your camera, like switch off
self-view,
viewing yourself. Yeah, self-view, sorry. Right.
There is.
I can never do that. I'm too scared. I'm scared that something will like happen to my appearance and I can't see it.
I'm doing that right now.
I don't know. I'm too self-centered.
You are, yeah?
Too self-centered. You are?
Yeah, whoa. Yeah. I don't know why, but the study you were talking about, it feels very relatable. But I guess another reason why I turned it off is because I don't want to be too self-aware. There's a tendency for me to, like, you know, look at myself and how do I look, stuff like that. Yeah, I just want to cut that out. I just want to, like, focus on you guys and who I'm talking to, basically.
Aww.
That's sweet.
We can all turn off self-view if you want to.
How do you turn off self-view?
Right-click
on yourself.
Okay, I found it.
Right-click.
Ooh! It's worked.
Oh, hide self-view. There we go. Oh, cool.
I've actually never done that, like, in any of my lessons.
Yes.
At uni. I'm too scared. I am actually too scared to do that.
How come? Why would that be?
Maybe the self-consciousness thing. I feel like in real life, I don't know why, but like having a camera on me makes me feel really, really self-conscious. I think that's just the main reason why.
Same. Like, I have a weird anecdote. So, you know, during assembly when we're doing the ISP Mon stuff, so they got a proper TV crew in and, well, camera crew in or whatever. You know those videos, the ISP Mon trailer? It took so many takes. And mainly because of me, because I ruined all of it. I'm so terrible when there's a camera on me. We started, I think, beginning of break, and then we skipped the period and ended, like, end of lunch or something. Because it was that bad. So I
totally relate.
Very, very self-conscious on camera.
You know how they made us record, like, advertisements for school where we would talk about our university, application experiences? Oh my god, I was horrible. I was so scared of it. Not scared. I was so self-conscious. And I kept tripping over my words.
Both you and Jay seem so, like... I think we're talking about the same one, right? Like, when they interviewed us in the study room?
Yes.
Yeah, both you and Jay seem so, like, natural. Mine seems so, like, I was reading from a script. It was like... Because I actually did. I prepared a script because I kept forgetting what I was going to say. I kept messing up.
Internally, my heart was beating like crazy.
Me too.
Which is strange, like... Because I don't think, in that sense, we're worried too much about what other people think. Maybe it's just the effect of the camera itself.
Yeah, that's actually really odd. What about the camera makes us feel so self-conscious?
That seems like an episode title, to be honest. What about the camera makes us so self-conscious?
I feel like that's so relevant to, like, the age of online learning, though. Because I have a tuition student that doesn't switch on her camera. But, like, I don't really want to get her to do so. Because she might feel uncomfortable. So it's just me with my camera. But then I also feel self-conscious about it. So that's a little bit awkward. I actually really like that student. Like, generally I like all my students, but it just feels really odd.
Has she always had her camera off from, like, the first lesson you've had?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Then at least she's, like, consistent with it. Like, rather than starting with a camera on and then I eventually decided.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I would actually feel horrible. Okay, so we talked a little bit about sort of the impacts on education, I guess. How about the world at large? Shivy, you might have ideas about this. I feel like you're very well read.
The world at large? I don't know. From what perspective? Okay. From an econ's perspective, it's actually... I don't want to say this, but so I recently got a position as research director for a certain economic summit. I don't want to plug it because that's just bad. But so basically I had to do research on, like, what the themes are going to be. And one of the biggest, like, concerns, like, that no one's really talking about is how, like, the impact of digitization can actually lower international standards. So I don't know if you guys know what the RCEP is. Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. So it's like the biggest trade free trade agreement ever in history, and it's based in Asia. So Malaysia's a part of it, China, Indonesia, Vietnam, Australia, New Zealand, blah blah blah, and it's bigger than the North American Free Trade Agreement and the European Union. It's worth more, but basically because of its emphasis on digitization. And because everyone in Asia wants to sign up for it because they want to recover from COVID, the labor standards, protection on small industries and small and medium enterprises, all of it is slowly starting to vanish because there's this new sphere of digital competition that's just arisen because of COVID, which is very dangerous because it's an unregulated sort of, or relatively unregulated sphere, especially in Asia. So that's, like, one of the biggest dangers, I would, like, practically the biggest dangers resulting from COVID and the sort of online experience.
Would that be just because it's difficult to regulate things online, or because it's just new?
A bit of both. So it is new, but Asia, notoriously, the standards are quite lax here. And that's part of the reason why like big manufacturers and everything manufacture the products here, because it's cheaper to do so. But also it is very hard to regulate things digitally because of things like rules of origin. So rules of origin are basically where a product comes from. So when you're trading with every single country, there has to be a rule of origin so that they know like where to impose tariffs and how much and stuff like that. But it's very difficult, especially in a big trading group with digital products, to determine the correct rules of origin. And some say if you really want to, it's quite impossible to do so. So that's the biggest concern.
I was right. He is a well-read fellow.
I didn't want to bring it up, but it is so interesting. I didn't even know it existed until I started reading about it, which is, it just blew my mind. So I thought I'd
share. That is so interesting.
From a medical perspective, Nicole, or whatever perspective you have, how about you?
To be fair, I feel like in terms of the impact on the medical environment, initially when the sort of pandemic first started, what happened was that they were pushing a lot of elective surgeries or operations or like basically any interventions that weren't essential. They pushed it back so that they sort of made space for the COVID patients to come in. I actually don't know what the impact has been thus far because I haven't been keeping up with it. But I would imagine that that would create a lot of sort of work that builds up because they've got to catch up with not only the current treatments, but also treatments that they sort of moved backwards because of COVID. And there's also another thing about underdiagnosing because of COVID. Patients haven't been coming into the hospitals to like get themselves checked up or when they feel bad. Like, for example, I think I read somewhere, I can't remember where, but the heart attack levels dropped during COVID. And that's not an accurate representation because it's not that people are having less heart attacks. It's just that people are not presenting with them because they're too scared to go to the hospital. So I guess those are the impacts I can think of. For vaccines, I feel like I'm not very qualified to talk about it. Obviously, it's been a breakthrough with how fast vaccines have been developed, which is really cool and stuff. But I'm not really sure about what my opinion about that is. I mean, I did look into it. The technology is really cool, and I can't wait to get vaccinated. That sounds really odd, but yeah.
Oh yeah, so a quick tangent. Do you guys know when the vaccine in Malaysia is going to be out? Like for us, I mean.
Somewhere in June. I feel like May, June.
Hmm. Oh wow, that's really...
Is that not it?
I don't know. No. I just didn't expect it to be so quick.
The our phase is May to next year, February. Yeah. Whoa. So it's a long phase to vaccinate.
Is it? What is the priority structure like for our group?
Oh, for our group itself, I'm not sure what the priority structure is.
Because it seems like a long time, May to February.
Yeah. Our COVID rollout, the vaccine rollout, not COVID rollout, the vaccine rollout, is three phases. So phase one was for frontliners. Phase two was for those with comorbidities or the elderly. And phase three is our phase, which is May to February.
Also, another tangent, but like, I don't think the vaccines are safe for children yet. They've been running trials, but I don't think that children can get it right now. At least it hasn't been tested safe for children yet.
Really? I haven't heard about this.
I was thinking that children should be vaccinated soon, especially since a lot of them are like at school. But the safety about that hasn't been like proven.
I guess another change with the reference to the vaccines is that I feel that a lot of the general public has become more polarized because of the vaccine. A lot of the news regarding people who've gotten the vaccine and have died a couple of days after or have had side effects, they're really just like fuel to serve like the anti-vaccine movement. And there comes a point where even the general public will sort of start to catch these sentiments and wonder, so this vaccine was made like in a year's time? Like how was it made so quickly? Is there an agenda behind this? And so I guess there's a level of distrust and polarization that has been growing as a result of this vaccine and COVID as a whole.
Okay, so I have a few opinions on this. I will say these are opinions. Mm-hmm. But I think that what the news has not been doing very well is good science. So what they've been doing is, for example, there were a lot of studies going around about different drugs vaccines about like for COVID. And a lot of these trials usually are done quite quickly and they haven't been peer reviewed yet necessarily. And a lot of news articles will just jump on any study, article, journal that they find, ooh, looks like a good headline. Doesn't matter if it's been checked. Doesn't matter if it's actually a legit one. And just like sensationalize it, which is such a bad idea. Such a bad idea. Like to your point, which polarizes the public even more. And about the side effects for the vaccine, to be fair, again, I'm not qualified, but I think that sometimes there are a lot, especially when you're vaccinating such a large population, there are often conditions people have that may contribute to the side effects that they see. So for example, if someone has this side effect, but it could be related to their previous condition rather than the vaccine itself. So again, I'm not qualified, but I just want to say that I guess people should approach articles like this with a grain of salt, because a lot of them will be proven false afterwards, but the damage has already been done. You know, they'll say, oh, sorry, this was actually due to like a pre-existing condition or something ridiculous like that, you know, but they've already published it. So that's just something I feel like very irritated about sometimes, but it's okay, right? Can't do anything about it. So I just don't read the news. I just don't read the news.
Oh, but to sort of like reference what Nicole said, there was a recent controversy. Like, I've only been following this because I've invested in AstraZeneca, but
you have.
Yeah, it's been going well, but I think recently the EU like suspended all AstraZeneca vaccines because they were deemed not safe, and then a couple of days later, the same regulator I think said that, oh sorry, it is actually safe. We just stuff like that, it's just, it not only polarizes the population, but it just contributes to general confusion and sort of ambiguity around the vaccine, which right now is not needed. It's not necessary. Like, I'm very hardcore about this. Come on, you need to get vaccinated, please.
I agree, seriously. Because if you think about it, a lot of news articles, and I mean, to your point, yours is not about news, but when talking about news, a lot of it is just about selling it.
Mm.
They want to sell a story. And it's not interesting unless someone gets hurt or like something bad happens, you know? So they have to find something.
Have y'all heard of the Russian vaccine Sputnik? I think it's Sputnik.
To be fair, I haven't been following any others very closely.
Right, because there was a CNN interview with like the CEO of the company that produced Sputnik. And then, at the time of the interview, I think it was around 3 million Russians had already been vaccinated with Sputnik, but the question that the CNN reporter posed was, why hasn't President Putin been vaccinated with Sputnik? And then the guy couldn't respond. He was like, when President Putin wants to get vaccinated, he will get vaccinated. I'm not going to do
that. He just did.
No. But it was terrible. It was terrible. Okay, let me try again. No, let me not try.
Do you want me to do it?
Okay, go. Why has President Putin not been vaccinated?
When Putin wants to get vaccinated, he'll get vaccinated. It's not my problem. It's not my business. But yeah, when he wants to get vaccinated, it's up to him, you know? Not that I'm scared, whatever.
It's so bad. I mean, it's a good thing. It's so good.
I don't even know if that's what he said.
What type of vaccine is this?
As in, what disease? Is it a vaccine against?
Is it mRNA or like protein-based or what? Ah, it's a viral vector!
Nicole, could you please explain for the class what that means?
I think what a viral vector means is that they basically take a virus, they put the RNA that codes for a certain spike protein into the virus, and then this virus is obviously less infectious than the COVID itself. And then it goes and infects our body and it triggers the immune response. I think that's how it works. I'll fact check it and let you know if you can include that in the episode. But I think that's how it works in very simple terms.
Nice. You're good at explaining. You know, you are. If I could understand it, then you're definitely good at explaining it.
I think it might be because my mom did, like, she demanded me to explain all the different types of vaccines to people. She, like, literally sat down and was like, Nicole, okay, so what's the Pfizer vaccine? What's the Moderna one? Explain it. And I was like, oh. So, yeah, I explained it to her.
That's kind of impressive.
Why?
Yeah. Not gonna lie.
Okay, well, that is such a big detour. Right. I think I'll just wrap it up with this last question because this has been going on for quite a while and I'm scared it's going to be another hour long episode. One more question from me. You know how a lot of kids are growing up in this era? So apart from education, right? How do you think they'll be affected? Or what do you think will be the biggest impacts on them?
I'm not sure about impacts, but I just know that in the current day, they are going to miss out on a lot of stuff that we were able to do. Like, if we're talking about sports, you can go to tournaments. Back then, you could have gone to tournaments, competed, but now you can't really do that. Like, gatherings, like prom, graduation, it's unlikely that those things could happen in person. I just feel that, sadly, a lot of kids in our day and age are going to perhaps miss out on stuff that we were fortunate enough to experience.
I totally get what you mean.
I think kids are being introduced to digital devices at far too, especially now and during the COVID environment, where this trend has been accelerated. And as I said, like, I think it will continue far beyond COVID. They're being introduced to it way too early, and I don't think it's something that's likely to stop, even because it's sort of inevitable, the environment under which they grow up in. Even if they have a very strict household, they're going to go to school. As I said, like, online learning is going to be a thing because, like, it's way too convenient not to be a thing. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I could cite a whole bunch of reasons that will bowl people, but the obvious basic one is, and the most important, I think, is the ability to properly interact with other people. Because I think especially after going to university, I think the one skill above all else that really matters is your ability to not just sell yourself, but to actually conduct yourself properly. Like, to talk to people like as genuinely being yourself and like without pandering to their interests, and to just be yourself is actually a very, very difficult thing to do. You have to take responsibility for yourself. God, I'm sounding like Jordan Peterson. But no, you do. And I think the filter of technology just provides too much comfort. Because, as I said, like, you can, like, with the whole education example, like, and us in uni, like, blending work with our lives, you can just sit and not have to properly interact with anyone. And so you won't essentially know how to do things. I mean, even us, like, to think about it, like, we don't know how to do a lot of things because we've grown up in a semi sort of digital environment. Like, our parents will probably have, I don't know, at least I think my parents probably had a much more colorful childhood because, and they like, based on what my mom and dad said about their experiences in uni, I could tell that they only had those experiences, like, they were able to, like, leverage a lot of things from their uni experience because they knew just how to interact with people on a much deeper level. Like, I probably can't explain it well, but there's a certain level that you can't really, really see or describe, but it's just there. It's almost psychological, almost psychosocial.
Like, to add on to that point, I think it's not just interacting with people, even though that's, like, very important. I feel like the lack of real-world experiences, everything, like you said, is filtered by a screen, so they don't have experiences just in general. So I guess that it would be impacted by people that wouldn't be able to sort of go do work experience, go on camps, like all the things that you said, Jay. I think just generally they have less experience of what the real world is. I don't know if you've seen, but like there was this video I watched of a baby that like had a real book in their hands, and then she was like flipping it like an e-book, as in like sliding the pinky
days
across the page. And I was like so shocked when I saw that, you know. It's just how little of the real world they're seeing. Even I feel like I'm having like a lack of that because I just spend my whole first year of medical school staring at a screen, you know. Like, I don't know what the hospital, like, how it actually works. I don't know, like, I haven't been doing any labs at all. Haven't been seeing any patients and stuff like that as well.
And I think like that impacts later on in life. Like, when we don't, in ways that we can't see. Like, for us, like, honestly, like, we don't know how to pay our taxes or rent houses or, right? I mean, it's not just me. Like, and again, these things, like, you can argue, oh, they're not taught in schools anyways, even if it's physical. But our parents, and even, like, generations before, I think they knew it because they actually went out there. And these things were just accessible to them because they were forced to essentially talk to people, and they were forced to, like, have these experiences. So they kind of knew what it was like. They grew up under the environment where practical skills were more accessible.
Agreed.
I don't know if you notice this, but generally the older generation is just better at talking to people. Like, you know, they are able to hold conversations for longer, engage, at least in my opinion. Because, like, my grandma can literally, like, talk about anything and, like, be able to, like, conduct a semi, not a semi, but, like, a proper conversation. But, like, I would find it very awkward. Maybe it's the lack of my own social skills, but I feel like COVID or online learning or just the online environment will just aggravate this problem.
This just reminds me of, there was a time when I was helping out in school last year, I think October, November, for the PE department's online learning, and I sat in on like a year six's class for a few times, and I just wondered to myself, like, wow, they're in year six and they have to do like online learning 5 days a week. I feel like, in my opinion, they're missing out on a lot like, that we had the opportunity to have. Like, I can think of a lot that we did in year six, like playing football on the field, in the mornings, break times, lunch times, that primary block that we were moved to for the first time, and it was a whole new environment. Yeah, it just gave me something to think about, that we were actually quite, in a sense, fortunate to have had our childhood sort of uninterrupted by something as huge as a pandemic.
I agree. A wrap?
Yeah, I guess we can wrap it up.
This episode is really fun to talk about, though. I don't know, this episode is really fun to talk about.
We actually had stuff to talk about.
Maybe it's because we haven't talked together in a while. Yeah. Wait, do we stop recording?
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider following the podcast to receive notifications every time we upload.
If you would like to learn more about the three of us and our diverse interests, links to our respective blogs are available in the show notes.
Also, should you have any suggestions for improvement, please feel free to email us at clearlyunclearpodcast@gmail.com.
Since Shiv is coming home, Nick, do you have any advice for Shiv's online learning in particular? Because he'll be coming back to... I mean, do you have any online learning advice in particular?
He said that he doesn't have any more classes.
Wait.
Yeah, I just have exams.
Oh. I'll raise my hand for that one. My bad. We can cut this out. My bad.